So I want to open with, I just want to share this story. I was in worship and I was thinking about this. I'm going to bring three friends up in a minute, but this is before Steph and I got married, and we were doing this like small group Bible study in my apartment in State College, and it was crazy. We just saw crazy stuff happen. I think I had a one-bedroom apartment, and we used to have so many people on Tuesday night at this Bible study that people sat in the bathroom, you know. And I've probably mentioned this before because so many stories come out of this Bible study. And so there's this one night, and we're there, and as I'm sharing, all of a sudden, I just have this like thought that I just want to tell this story, and I tell the story about a friend of mine who had actually committed suicide. And I was going off script, so I felt like maybe this is the Lord, you know. And I talk fast, I think fast, and sometimes I just go on bunny trails, and sometimes they're the Lord and sometimes they're not. And as I'm sharing this, the presence of God is hitting the room so deep that I get to a point where I'm afraid to speak. Like, I'm afraid to say another word. And so I was sitting in a chair and I just kind of stopped like this and I waited. And the longer I waited, the thicker the presence of God was getting. And I didn't know what to do, you know. And so I came up with this idea. Probably it was definitely the Lord. I said, okay, let's do this. Let's break up into two groups. We'll have, you know, and let's just pray. We'll have the guys pray out here in the main area, and then the girls can go off into my bedroom and pray there, which may have been the only time you'd ever been in that room, right? So of course this is how it goes, right? So after 10 minutes, the guys, we're done praying. Like, we're done. Like, we had nothing to do. And we start doing what guys start doing. Like, we're doing, like, arm wrestling. We're doing push-up wars. You know, 30 minutes go by, the girls are still praying. An hour goes by, they're still growing. Like, 90 minutes to 2 hours later, they come out. And at that point, the guys are throwing cheese curls across the room. And we're doing this. You know? I mean, that's just how the night went. And for, I don't know how long, but for like months, we would move furniture and we'd find like cheese balls. They were just everywhere. Because we, the whole night, for like an hour, we were just throwing these things around. Okay, there is a point for this, okay? So reel it in, right? Brian's like, reel it in. So after the night's done, you know, I asked her, I said, hey, what, you know, how was prayer time? And there was a girl that had decided that she was going to commit suicide that night. And she had showed up for the first time. And I don't know if we ever saw her again. It was one of Chrissy's friends. And it was like one of those things where, like, that's why his presence came. You know. And I say that because there's always a purpose in his presence. So sometimes if I stop and I pause and I just say, hang on a minute, it's because I'm feeling his presence and there's always a purpose in his presence. Even if it's just love, even if it's just he wants to reach out and touch you and let you feel him. And so it's good to just kind of pause in his presence, right? So, Father, I just thank you for tonight. I thank you for all that you're going to do. And, Lord, I pray that throughout the night you would just be touching people with your presence. Lord, I pray for just your anointing on the words we speak in Jesus' name. So, I'm going to bring David, Marcy, and Paul up here. Come on up. And they're going to help me tonight. And what I want to do is I want to actually launch off of something that Paul started 2 weeks ago. How many of you were here when Paul shared 2 weeks ago? It was two Wednesdays ago. Oh, good. So I'm not going to do much of a recap. He shared about the father who brought his son that was demon-possessed to the disciples, and Jesus, Peter, James, and John had just been coming off of the mountain when they'd been transfigured, and here was this dad with this son who had been throwing himself in the fire, and all kinds of things were happening, and it was this moment where the father comes to Jesus, and he says, can you heal my son? Your disciples could not. And so it's this amazing moment where, you know, Jesus says, if you have faith, or if you believe, you know. And the father says, I believe, help my unbelief. And Paul really gave, for me personally, gave me a key that night when he shared about it. But the way that Jesus helped that father's unbelief was he healed the boy. You know, And but if you go on, if you go on in the story, what you find is that later on, right, later on, you have the disciples alone with Jesus, and they ask him a question. And, you know, there's over 120 times in the Bible that people ask Jesus a question. And there's all kinds of questions. Like, you know, the disciples asked Jesus 17 questions. 10 of them came from Peter, okay? You know, that's why I love Peter. He's full of questions, you know? And if you've ever been in meetings with me, I'm always asking questions because, like, I've got questions, you know? And so there's this thing about, like, questions. And, like, you know, they would ask questions like, why do you speak to people in parables, you know? Why do the scribes say Elijah needed to come first? You know, theological questions. You know, hey, you want us to feed 5,000. Should we go spend $200 on bread? You know, I add sarcasm to some of these questions because that's how I imagine them, but they were probably a little bit more holy, which is why they're in the Bible. And another one was, Lord, don't you care if we perish? You know, that was when they were on the boat and, like, everything was going crazy. And but so oftentimes, though, these questions, they're private conversations. If you were living during the time of Jesus, if you were living during the time of the disciples, you would never know the answers to these questions. You would never know that they were even asked because most of them are private. You know, and in Mark 9, 28 and 29, this is what it says in the Passion Translation. It says, afterwards, when Jesus arrived at the house, his disciples asked him in private, why couldn't we cast out the demon? And he answered them, this type of powerful spirit can only be cast out by fasting and prayer. Okay. And so tonight I want to just kind of focus on the private things in our life where we have moments with God. You know, because there's a purpose why this is in the scriptures. Like, you know, Jesus wasn't in any way being down on the disciples. He was giving them a key. He was just saying them, well, you asked a really good question, and I'm going to give you an answer. And the answer is really this. It comes from a walk of prayer, a walk of fasting. And you know why Jesus' words carried so much authority? Because everything he said, he did. He never told anybody to do something that he himself wasn't willing to do. You know. And so when he says something, you know it's true. And so he gave them a key, and it wasn't a judgment. He was just telling them, this is how it works, okay? So here's what I want to do tonight. I'm going to start with David. And I've just asked them to share, really, I kind of gave them an open book, you know. And so David, Marcy, and Paul, I just asked them to share something related to presence, to encounter, to breakthrough. And I just know that as they're sharing, there's gonna be things that they say that are gonna just touch you. And when that happens, just receive it from the Lord. Can we do that? Is that okay if we go off script a little bit and do something different?
Yeah.
All right.
Can I stand up?
Yeah, man,
right?
Go for it. I'm gonna take your chair.
Sorry. Come on, how many of you love Vinny? Thank you, God, for Vinny. I just wanna start with two scriptures real quick. See if you can say the last word of Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own. Come on, that's good. And this is out of Ephesians 3. I just want to read this here just to create some context. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with the might through his spirit. Come on, say spirit. It's his presence in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, depth, height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge or understanding. There it is again. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. Come on, say amen. So good. Vinny asked me to share just kind of on this subject, and this story came to mind. Right after I got married, I felt like the Lord told me to... I woke up one morning and I got this word from the Lord, and he said, be about your father's business. And I just got married to Johanna, so I got another father. His name's Randy Clark. He's kind of a big deal. I mean, you know, Randy, Global Awakening. I'm very thankful for him, first and foremost, because he gave me his only daughter, his three boys and one daughter. And I responded to the Lord. I said, God, I am. I'm youth pastoring right now for Charles and my dad and all my other spiritual dads. And he said, no, there's a second inheritance for you. I want you to just you know, serve your father-in-law. So I said, okay. So I came to him, and actually Paul was his assistant and intern at the time. And I said, hey, Randy, you know, I got this word from the Lord. I have no idea where to place it, but can I just serve you for the next year or so? And just, I have no agenda. I just want to, you know, carry your bags, and I don't have to lead worship or do anything. At the time, I wasn't leading a lot of worship. Again, I was youth pastoring, and Ricardo was graciously letting me lead, you know, once or twice a quarter, something like that. But, and he said, yeah, you can come, but, you know, bring your guitar and all that. And so I said, okay. So I would bring my guitar, and it was just a season for me where it was really all about me and the Lord in the hidden place. I had a couple dreams of leading worship, but for me, it was a season of, you know, I'm not going to follow my dreams. I just want to follow Jesus. And I feel like that's a word for some young people here. Just lay your dreams down. Just follow Jesus, because you'll end up in a much bigger place than you ever thought you'd ever be. So just fast forward, after about a year or two later, we were in Orlando, Florida at a VOA. How many of you guys have been at a VOA? And I was just attending. Me and my wife flew down just to help Paul and Randy. And we spent the first day actually at Universal Studios. So I was like completely sunburned. Us leeches get completely sunburned. We don't get tan. We just get red. And so I walk into the meeting, and third day was leading worship. And then Jesus Culture led worship. There's 8,000 people there. It was insane. And I was having a great time, and it got to like right before the offering, after everyone was done leading worship and, you know, we were transitioning. Randy was actually about to speak, and Paul and I have this thing where Randy, he'll just call on you where you're completely like unprepared. You're not ready at all. And so he's in the front row. I'm in the second row behind him. And he goes, "Psh, Dave." And I'm like, "What?" He goes, "You want to play a song?" And I said, "No, I don't want to play a song." And he's like, "Well, I want you to play a song." And I can do an impression of him. He's my father-in-law. Anybody else tries, I'll cut you. We're close like that. So, and so he's like, I want you to play a song. You're going to do it. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. And Johanna's like, yeah, you're doing it. And Paul's like, yeah, you're doing it. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. He's like, did you bring your guitar? I'm like, no. Thank God I didn't bring my guitar. I'm out. And he's like, figure it out. Get a guitar. You're on in 5 minutes. And I was like, scared to death. Like, seriously, like, again, I wasn't leading worship a lot then. I've never led in front of anybody outside of Life Center at that point. It was really wild. And so I get on, I find a guitar, you know, one of the boys in the band. I'm like, can I use your guitar? And so I'm about to go on stage, and I had this prayer, like, God, I believe, but help my unbelief. Like, you have to show up. And on top of that, Randy asked me to do an original song that no one knew. Like, only him and Paul and my wife knew at that time. And I'm like, this is insane. And so I do what any great worship leader does in one of those moments. I stepped out and I shut my eyes as tight as I could. And I just started to sing. And after 3 minutes, again, this had to look so awkward because there's like Jumbotron screens. And like, I have my eyes shut so tight and I'm so sunburned. Like, it's so bad. And I'm just sweating. I'm just like this shiny tomato. And I'm like all these terrible thoughts. I'm singing the lyrics, but I'm like somewhere else, like completely. And I just felt the Lord just say, like, do what you do before me when no one's watching. And so I said, yes, I'll do it. But my real yes was in that place where it was just before the Lord. It wasn't then. It was really when it was just me and him, where I knew that I had a dream about leading worship, but I had no idea what that really was. And I just said, God, I just want to follow you. So after about 3 minutes, I opened one eye like this, and this isn't about me. 8,000 people were on the floor, and the presence of the Lord flooded that room. And I just felt the Lord say, David, I'm with you. And then I had confidence, not in myself, but in him. And I heard him also say after that, he said, I don't need you. I want you. And this encounter created belief. Where my unbelief was, this encounter shattered that. And what was replaced with my unbelief was belief that God can actually use my gifting and my calling right where I was. So I just feel the Lord in this. So I want to pray for anybody here in this place who, you know, you may have put a dream on the shelf, or you may have stopped believing in your gifting and your calling, or there's things that you know the Lord has placed in your heart, but they feel so impossible. Come on, if you're brave enough, would you just stand up tonight? I just want to pray for people all across this place corporately. Come on. Thank you. Thank you. Come on. Kirkland, man, I just see you. There's things, dude, that you've said before the Lord that he's just saying, Kirkland, I'm counting this as righteousness because you believe me. And they're like impossible dreams, man. Just so you know, you're going to lead worship in front of a lot of people. God's going to use you in an amazing way. John Gallagher, you too. You've said yes. You've moved here. You've risked it all. And there's times where you've doubted, but God's saying, I'm counting this towards right. This is righteousness. And he said, you're going to have an encounter that's going to increase your belief. So come on, just lift your hands. If this is you all over this place, Father, I just pray. And right now I just bless every calling, God, every gifting, Father God, every destiny, God, that's represented here tonight, God. And I pray, God, through this yes, God, even on a Wednesday night corporately, this is a yes in the secret place. This is a yes when no one else is really watching. Midweek on a Wednesday night, God, I just thank you, God. I pray that these yeses would be met with an encounter that would shatter unbelief, Father God. God, and in this season, God, this summer, as we chase after your presence, I think that in your presence, anything is possible. In your presence, you make all things new. God, I pray that each heart, each person here, God, would begin to work in the giftings and callings that you've placed on their life, God. God, the desires of your heart that you've placed in them, Father God, I pray that they would begin to work in them supernaturally, God. God, that they wouldn't just believe in you, God, but they would believe that you can use them, and God, and that you want to move through them in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, can we shout amen? Amen.
Wow. Thanks, David. So I'm feeling a little bit reckless tonight, so I got to just make sure I keep my myself in check. You know, before I bring Marcy up, I had this, when I was in worship, I had this thought, and it's a truth that I realized probably when my kids were, I don't know, maybe it was probably like when Jasmine was born and Elia was a baby and Anna was probably around five. And I just realized that nobody knows a child like a mom. I don't know how to describe it. Like I consider myself to be a pretty involved dad. And I think I, like, know my kids quite well. But there, we would have these moments. I have four girls, so I'm just going to use that as my cop-out card for not knowing them as well as Steph. But I just came to realize there's a truth there that nobody knows a child like a mom. And I wonder why that is. And I think one of it is because they've, you know, for most moms, they've carried that child in the unseen. You know, that they've experienced that child without seeing because that child's been in their womb. And so they have this automatic tie to the invisible attributes of God that are within a child in the womb. And I don't know if Marcy's going to talk anything about this, but what stirred my heart is that one of the things I've always admired about Marcy is that she's like a dream mom. Like, you know, among other things, like we in the office, like a lot of times you don't realize this, but in our, you know, we have an office and we all go to Marcy. Like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, there's a chair in her office. Rick has this kind of same thing with being a dad, but there's this chair in Marcy's office that you just kind of get drawn, and I don't know why, you just end up sitting there for some reason. And it's like, I don't know why I'm here, but I just felt like I needed to sit here. And she just kind of carries that. So would you just honor Marcy Leach as she comes on up here?
Thank you.
And she's fun to embarrass.
So the first, I want to just share things that help usher me into the presence of God. And they might sound practical, but they're very real. And the first one is about my mom. So the first thing that my mom made really real to me is her love for the Word of God. She and I would have these contests, like Bible memory verse things. She'd put something on the fridge, and then we'd have a contest who can memorize it first. So it was fun because I don't know if she knew that. Well, of course she knew this about me. She was my mom. But I would think about what I was saying. You know what I mean? Like, let the words sink in. And it really changed my life. I put myself, the one I think of is in Chronicles. And it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one and the priests couldn't stand because the cloud. And so I would like imagine myself in that. So anyway, the word, anytime I would, even in my daily reading, I read it and I like put myself in the story. And I think I've even told you about this, but I love to just put myself there and just let the word read me, like Brian Simmons says. But immediately the word just takes me into his presence. So that's one practical thing that just gets me in God's presence. Another one is praying, listening, journaling. When I got really turned on for the Lord in 85, it's when my parents started coming here, which was Word Fellowship on 13th Street. One thing I used to do, and I still do to this day, was I take notes of the Sunday messages, and then I go home and study them, look up the scriptures, you know, and go over that. So that would be, that helped me learn how to have a quiet time, how to get in God's presence. And this one night that I was in my room, I usually did it in the evenings when I was in high school and everything. I was done studying and I got at the foot of my bed and turned out the lights and just kind of listened. And all of a sudden there was this heavy duty, like thick, I just felt the presence of God. And then on each of my shoulders, they were big angels, and each one like was on either side of me putting their hands on my shoulders. It scared me so bad. Like, and they were terrified, right? So I jump up on the bed and I'm like, that was just a little too much. And I knew I ruined the moment. Like, I was like, oh, dang. But anyway, but that praying, that listening, the journaling, the studying the Sunday notes, you know, that's another thing that just gets me right into the presence of God. So that's two things, the praying and the reading the Bible. This one is so obvious, worship, okay? Whether I'm in the car listening, I have moments probably every morning in the car. It keeps me out of road rage. That's one good thing. But again, I listen to the lyrics. I listen to what I'm singing and think, do I really want to sing what the song is saying and commit to that? So I'm really, get those lyrics, just let everything read me and sink into me and become me. And again, it's the presence of God is just right there. And real recently, and it's in on my own time, and it's also, gosh, really powerful corporately. It's so important to be in corporate worship. But the Jason Upton Sunday, there was, do you remember the song he did, This Garden's Gonna Grow? I should have brought the lyrics. I left them back in my office. But, oh, God just rushed in the room in that song. It was like he was saying to us, you know, as a body, I've seen what you guys are doing here. I see the ground you're plowing. It's not in vain. I'm with you. I'm going to watch over my word to perform. It was, so that was another moment of just an amazing presence of God and corporate worship. But this last one might sound kind of funky, but that's probably what's going to get to me. It's serving. On a Sunday at the office, even at home, I ask the Lord, what do you want this person to know? If I'm at the welcome bar or wherever, I don't care. I just really open up. It's almost like I ask the Father, and I want to see what he's doing or what he wants to say. And I just hone in on that. I just feel God's presence come into that moment to see what he wants to do or say for that person. And I think the moment that became real to me is when I was a young mom. And I had four little ones. And it was crazy and boring, mundane. But there was this time, I think it was during the renewal, James Gall came to one of our, many of our meetings. And I went up for prayer, and he just stopped and he prayed, "What you're doing as a mom is intercession. What you're doing for them, you know, because they can't do for themselves." I had this paradigm shift, and it just gave me this whole new perspective. And I knew if I could embrace that, it would bring God into the whole realm of parenting and motherhood. So that is another practical, maybe not so glamorous time where I feel the presence of God. It's just putting, just serving others. And as I was preparing for this, it just made me realize I'm getting ready to enter a season with my parents to do for them maybe what they can't do so much for themselves. But I'm very excited and nervous, but it's just the words that keep coming to me is, where else can we go? He has the words of eternal life. I don't want to do anything else. So anyway, okay. So I would like to pray for anybody that is a practical kind of person, that you love to find God or be ushered into his presence in the normal everyday. Maybe it's mundane, I don't know, but not with God, it's not, it never is. It's never less important, but I think that's what I'd like to pray for. If you feel like, oh, I'm just practical, but you want to carry him wherever you go, you want to be a carrier of his presence and just always have the presence of God, the river of God flowing through you, that's who I'd like to pray. You don't have to stand up, you could raise your hand or whatever, but I thank you, Father. I thank you for your son, Jesus. And I thank you, Jesus, that you sent the Holy Spirit for us to walk, to flow with you, to watch and see what you're doing and to join you in that. I just ask for a grace to be dispensed here and a resolution, a resolve to be dropped into our hearts, a determination, no matter what distractions, circumstances, situations that we find ourselves in, that we're not above looking out for the others. We're not above getting with you and reading the word. We're not above or too busy to take time to worship, to journal, to listen. I just ask for that grace and determination and resolve to be dropped in us tonight. Holy Spirit, fill us up. Fill us up, because it's by your strength, it's by your grace, it's by your boldness and your courage that we can do this, that we can walk this every day, walk in your presence every day. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Father, thank you.
Amen. Wow. All right. Paul's going to jump up after I'm done and help me help ministry time. And so I'm used to having a chair when I'm in here, but wow, Marcy, that's awesome. You know, I was nervous about having to go after Sue Roby, but I guess I should have been more nervous about going after Marcy Leach. that's awesome. So let me kind of take you to where I think the Lord wants to take us tonight. And see, in that, going back to that encounter in Mark where the disciples went to Jesus and they said to him, why couldn't we do this? You know, And his response was really, it's because of the walk that I have with my Heavenly Father. You know, which is why they asked him, teach us how to pray. Because there was a desire in their heart to see breakthrough in the lives of others. And he taught them and he said to them, to see breakthrough in the lives of others, you have to have intimacy in your own life. You know, and Paul and I were talking last weekend about how your authority actually comes from an intimate walk with your Heavenly Father. You know, and so there in John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus makes this amazing statement. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these he will do because I'm going to the Father. And you have to understand the context. Everything Jesus says, these disciples know happens. So could you imagine you're in that moment and he looks at you and he says, but greater works than what I've done, you're going to do. Can you imagine hearing him say that? And if I'm in that moment, I'm excited and nervous at the same time. Because this guy walked on water. This guy raised the dead. This guy cast out demons. You know, this guy looked into people's hearts and loved them. He taught with incredible authority. All these things. And he said, you're going to do even greater works. Right? And we know that when he says something, he means it, and it's for real. So maybe in that moment, the disciples are there, and they hear him say this thing, and then all of a sudden they begin to flash back to all their questions. You know, maybe they flash back to that moment when they were coming down the hill, and they couldn't cast this demon out, and they said later, Jesus, why couldn't we do it? You know, maybe they flashed back to the moment when the woman who touched his garment was healed. You know, in Mark chapter 5, there's this amazing crowd. And one, you know, that where this woman reached out and touched the hem of his garment and she got healed. And you know what the disciples asked him? The question that came out during that one? The question was, how can you tell somebody touched you? And the answer was, he had so much power and presence flowing from him, he could recognize when someone drew from it, right? And so then you go on in Mark chapter 6, and Jesus ends up in this place called Gennesaret, and healing's breaking out everywhere. All kinds of crazy things are happening. And you know what it says in the scriptures? It's verses like 53 through 56. It says that many reached out and touched his garment and were healed. See, what started with one ended up with a multitude. And then the Holy Spirit comes and we get to where Peter is walking and his shadow is healing. See, that's what God wants to do with your life. That's why he is teaching you about his presence, because he wants his presence in you so fully that wherever you start, it's just going to continue to grow. David, maybe we could have someone hop on the keys, and I think you guys are going to close with a song, right? Yeah. So these intimate, private moments that you have, like when you're alone with the Lord, you're learning about his presence. You know, I share that first kind of testimony where I was learning. I was like maybe 3-4 years walking with the Lord, and I'm still learning about the presence of God today. And I just knew something was happening, and I knew it was God's presence. And do you know how I know it's God's presence? It's because his presence is like nothing else, right? I used to ask the youth kids, hey, how do you know, what's God's presence like? And I would ask for two reasons. One, I want another answer, but two, I also wanted to know the answer myself. And that's the guy who led worship in front of 8,000 people, everybody. I needed an object lesson. Thank you, David. And because we all start somewhere, right? So we all start somewhere. And if you look at the lives of the disciples, before Peter, you know, got to a place where his shadow was healing, all kinds of things were happening. You know, and so I'm in that season, and I'm learning about the presence of God. And what was here's the other side of the story. Here's the behind the scenes that a lot of times people don't know. Is that so? That night, I'm there, and Steph and I are doing Bible study. We've got all these, I'll just say college age kids, because most of them are college students or college aged, because some of them dropped out of college. And that was my draw, was that everybody who dropped out of college related with me. And so I'm in this moment, and I'm feeling the presence of God, and it's the sweetest thing I've ever experienced. And I can't help but pause when I feel his presence. And so I'm sharing about my friend who had committed suicide. You know, and while I'm sharing, it's ripping me to pieces. Okay, but I know I have to share because I know it's him. And the reason why his presence was so strong because of what was going on inside of me. I needed love to hold me together in that moment. Because what I didn't tell you is that that friend of mine who had committed suicide was the first person I had ever prayed with to receive Christ. She was the first person I'd ever shared the gospel with that had actually accepted Christ and I prayed with. And it was the place of my greatest failure up until that moment. And here I am, and I'm just almost against my will, but driven by love because his presence is so good, sharing about this friend of mine who passed away. You know, but there's always a purpose in the presence. You know, and I would find out 2 hours later, a full bag of cheese curls and cheese balls later, you know. But I'm in that moment, and I'm sharing that, and now I have this victory story. Because, see, I have all these prophetic words over my life, and I was known as a soul winner, you know. And here I am, I'm supposed to be the soul winner, and the first person whose, quote, soul I helped save, perished. But his presence comes because there's always a purpose. And I needed that love to push me forward. And because it doesn't matter where you start, okay? You know, when we were going through our marriage class, I had this phrase that I loved, and it was in our book, and it said, you can't go back and make a brand new start, but you can start now and make a brand new end. And he's in the business of making brand new ends, you know. And I just want to let you know, if you have an area where you feel like you've missed it or it's an area of failure, he's here, and he's going to touch that area, you know. And areas that seem like weaknesses or seem like failures, he's going to turn into your greatest strengths. Because at the end of the night, I walked away and I was like, I was redeemed. And if you need redemption, that's where it's found. It's found in his presence. And there's a purpose for his presence. And so when you draw near and he comes with his presence, he's going to release purpose in your life. And I'm just going to ask them to kind of clear the chairs, because what we want to do is we're just going to turn this area. Brian, is that okay? We're going to just turn it into like an altar for you. And the worship team's going to just, they're going to sing over you. And I just want to encourage you, come forward and kneel if you want to kneel. And if you have a prophetic word over your life and you feel like it's not happening, you know, and it's turning into a place of hurt and pain, I just want you to come up and I just want you to kneel and just get in his presence. And if you're feeling any kind of draw, I just want us to come up and I just want us to get on our knees and just connect. And because nothing else matters, right? There's nothing like when his presence touches. If you need healing, come on up. You know, we're going to have the ministry team just kind of minister gently around people. But let's just start by standing, and as we go into worship, just come on up and find a place to just go deep with him. So, Father, I just bless every person here. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for how you move in our hearts. And I just ask for a release of your presence. Father, I speak to hearts and deep places in people's hearts. And we just release healing. We release joy. We release light. You're so good. stay in this place of worship, stay in this place of his presence, of adoration. If you need to go and get your kids, go ahead. But the rest of you, just stay in this place. For those of you that are on the ministry team, just come on up and just begin to bless and soak those that are around you. And if you're in a place where he's just touching you, just let him continue to do that. We'll stay here. We'll just stay here for a while and just let him do what he's doing. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for how you touch us, how you go to the deep places, to the places of our dreams. Father, I pray for a release of hope, a release of your goodness. I pray for awakening of hearts, stirring of hearts. Thank you, Father. You're so good. You're so good.